Today on the Rising Coaches Podcast.
If we start that conversation with that, that's already something that can bridge a gap. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's not awkward. So it's like trying to help build rapport. So like the amount of time you post and what content you post, that's almost secondary to what really helps you build a strong brand. It's figuring out, you know, what do I want people to know about me? That's the question. What do you want people to know about the program?
Today's podcast is brought to you by the Rising Coaches Association, the biggest coaching tree in all of basketball. Sign up for the Rising Coaches Association now for just $120 a year and become part of our community, relationships, and development. We talk about it all the time. There's no straight lines in this profession. There's only ups and downs. You need a community that knows exactly what you're going through and has been there before to help lean on during the rough times of the industry. You need genuine relationships, not just exchanging numbers, not just meeting new people at the Final Four in the off season. You should be doing it all year round, and we provide tremendous opportunities to create those genuine relationships all through the year. And finally, development. We have so much content and so many resources so that you can work on your craft and become a better coach. Because we put such a premium and an emphasis on helping you establish new, genuine relationships, it takes all of the political BS side of the business out of the equation for you. All of that gets removed off of your plate. You can just worry about being you, making new friends in the business, and working on your craft and becoming the best coach that you can be and impacting the people that you're around on a daily basis. For more information, visit risingcoaches.com/membership on risingcoaches.com. Rising Coaches events are back. This summer, we have two live in-person events, and we can't wait to see you there. The Rising Coaches Conference West will take place in Phoenix, Arizona, June 17th through the 18th, and the Rising Coaches Conference East will be held in Atlanta, Georgia, July 6th through the 7th. Both events are right before major recruiting tournaments in those cities. So come a day early, attend the conference, and get some recruiting done while you're there. All information can be found at risingcoaches.com. Events are $199, but if you sign up before May 22nd, you can receive a $25 off discount. And if you're a Rising Coaches member, you'll receive $100 off. If you're a member, head to the member site for the coupon code and receive your discount. We can't wait to see you guys there. Welcome back to another edition of the Rising Coaches Podcast presented by Lucio Sports. Right now, when you sign up for a membership of Rising Coaches, you get a free personal license to Lucio Sports' apps, which is awesome because you can do play diagrams, you can do play animations, which you're seeing the NCAA is about to pass and allow coaches to use technology in the huddles. Lucio's already on the iPads of NBA teams. You can see them in 30-second timeouts. Instead of drawing up crazy squiggly lines a bunch of times that your players don't know what it means anymore, you can simply have the plays already loaded in there. You hit play on the iPad, and it shows the animation. You can run through it 3 to 4 times in a 30-second timeout to really get your players understanding where they're supposed to be. So when you sign up for a free membership of Rising Coaches at risingcoaches.com, you get that free license to a personal license to Lucio Sports. Also, they just finished building our profile pages. So when you become a member of Rising Coaches, everyone now gets a free profile page, which is viewable to the public. So if you Google my name, you'll see my Rising Coaches portfolio show up. You can click it. It's got a cool interactive resume, a timeline of all the places I've ever been. It's like your own coaching portfolio right there. For free, included with your membership. So head to risingcoaches.com, sign up, and follow our friends at luciosports.com. All right, very excited for our guest today, Aisha Foy. We've got many titles here for Aisha. Director of Recruiting at Kentucky, the host of Black Excellence in Sports. Check it out on iTunes now. As well as an author and an entrepreneur, author of the new book, Success is My Major. Aisha, what's up? How are you? You've been busy.
What's going on? Yeah, too busy too busy, too much to handle, but, you know, just trying to do all I can, you know, live out my purpose and everything. So, yeah, I try to do what I can. That app that you were just talking about, I was one of those players that I ain't never remember what the coach just drew up. So, hey.
Well, you know how it is. Like, even if it's like Coach K, sometimes they show his, like, whiteboard. You get a glimpse of it on the camera, and it's, like, squiggly lines everywhere. It doesn't matter how good of a coach you are. Like, yeah. Those things are hard to read.
Yeah, I'd be like, what coach just say?
So. Yeah, exactly. Well, Lucio's making it easier. Aisha, we got to know each other at SEMO. You were the GA for the women's basketball team. And the men's and women's basketball staff shared like a suite, an office suite. So mm-hmm. we're always around each other every day. I got to see your work ethic. I know how you manage all these things. That was what I was going to ask you. How do you juggle all these different things you got going on? But I've seen you in action. You're like extremely disciplined and intentional with your time.
I try to be, or, you know, sleep in the office some days or don't get no sleep sometimes. So, yeah, I try to be disciplined. Is something that I'm trying to work on, being disciplined with my planning so that I can even operate even better. But, yeah, I'm just, you know, focused on what I got to do and try to knock out things, you know, when I can. So prioritizing and stuff like that, it's hard. So I don't make it seem like it's easy. It's definitely hard, but, you know, I try and do what I can.
You make it look easy, especially for someone like me, who's the opposite of that. I'm not the most organized, like, best planner. But every time I'd see you in the office, you'd have stuff color coordinated. You'd be reading something, and I'd be like, man, Aisha's making me look bad.
I got it.
Let's dive into that. So, talk about, like, your path and your career so far. Like I said, we met. You were GA at SEMO under Rika Patterson. She's done amazing things there with that basketball program. Won the championship in 2020, which hasn't been done at SEMO in decades, I think. I don't know my SEMO women's basketball history, but I'm going to say decades. I think that's fair. Yeah. And before that, you played at Radford, right?
Yes, sir.
Give me the scouting report, Aisha. That's something we do on the show. You got to give us a scouting report.
So – it's funny because before I even went to college to play, I already had my mind set on, like, being a GA. And, you know, I was, like, very into the recruiting process when I was, like, being recruited. I carried around a little binder. You know, I couldn't wait to see all the college coaches and stuff like that. I focused more on that than I actually did, like, playing. So if I were to put that energy into playing, I'd probably be, like, in the WNBA or something like that. But I just was really interested in, like, you know, how they thought, you know, how they went about themselves, what it took to be recruited. You know, I would print out, you know, if somebody was being recruited by a top team, I'd print out, like, the evaluation. I'd, like, highlight everything they had to do to get there. So that was kind of like my, you know, high school, middle school type thing, what I was doing and things like that. So, you know, we had a player from my hometown who went and played at Richmond. And the year after she graduated, I saw her on the bench for Georgia. Her name is Danielle Bell. I saw her on the bench. And I was like, you know, that's my mom. I was like, when was she just finished playing? So then we, like, looked it up and everything. And then we see that she was a graduate assistant coach. So I was like, whatever that is, I got to do that. You know, so I had, you know, gotten advice, like, you know, when you get to college, you want to make sure you do the so you want to be a coach program and things like that. So my whole college experience was all about trying to make sure I prepare myself for that opportunity. You know, I got a little sidetracked in college. I had fell in love with New York City. So I wanted to go. First option was be the GA at St. John's, but if I wasn't going to go to St. John's. If I wasn't going to be the GA, I was still going to go. But, you know, thankfully I got back to my purpose. You know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes it don't happen. You think you want something, but then, you know, God know what you really want. So a week before I was getting ready to actually move to New York, Rika Patterson, like, I got an email from Rika Patterson asking me, you know, was I interested in talking to her about the graduate assistant position? So, you know, initially I was like, no, not really. You know, I called her, you know, she didn't know what I was thinking, you know, so, I was talking about, just asking questions about it, going through the interview process, but I had my mind just set on going to New York, you know, but after I talked to her the first time, I was like, man, this feels like, it's the right thing to do. Like, it just feels perfect in New York. Going to New York was just, it was so hard. Like, you know, obviously the rent is crazy. I was about to be paying for grad school, but, I just had my mind set on it. But, after I finished talking to Coach P, I was like, nah, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So,
yeah. Important moral to that story is like, because young coaches do this all the time. They make this mistake. Always listen to an opportunity before you like make any decision. Mm-hmm. And don't tip your hand like, oh, I don't really want to do this. Listen first, then decide.
Yep. And that's good too. Cause I had like, I mentioned to my mom like subtly and she was like, what? Somebody emailed you about a graduate assistant position? I'm like, yeah, but we're going to New York next week. Like, I'm about to sign a lease. Like, literally the lease was in my email waiting for my signature. And then for some reason I didn't sign it. So, by the time I talked to Coach P, like I talked to her for about a week, just different opportunities talking to her. And I knew by the time I had to have a decision made before she offered me the job, because I didn't want to say, let me think about it. I wanted, as soon as she offered me the job, I wanted to be like, okay, yes, I'm coming. I took some time, thought about it, was praying about it and things like that. That's probably the first time I was like, I need to pray about a decision. But that is probably the first time I really need to pray about a decision, because otherwise I'm just like, nah, I know what I want. But like I said, I got the lease, didn't sign the lease. I was like, nah, I'm supposed to go to Cape Girardeau, Missouri and be a GA. So that was how I, got to Missouri and met you and things like that.
Yeah, always crazy to see like the twists and turns in people's journeys and paths. But Aisha, you avoided my question. I want the scouting report for you as a player. Driver, shooter, player.
Oh, my bad.
Stopper.
I thought you was asking about a scouting report on how I got to where I was.
No, I think you're avoiding talking about your game. I got to know.
The crazy thing about me is that I feel like I play decent, like maybe 10% of my career. It's crazy because it's all about mindset. So, on a good day, I would say, point guard, push the ball hard in transition, always looking for teammates, not trying to, save the day, anything like that. Definitely a shooter, don't leave me open, definitely a shooter, get to the basket, make good decisions when my mind is right. Just front runner, leading the show, leading the team, things like that. So
confident shooter. I like it. We finally got the confidence coming out.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
On your game. Good. That's okay.
I can shoot the ball. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. See, I didn't know that. We never hooped. I don't know why, but we never hooped at CMO.
We did.
I were a shooter.
No noon ball game.
Yeah, learn something new every day. We did play. You guys just never came out. We would play
for real? My first year at CMO, I actually I was recovering from an ACL injury, so I won't even.
That's right. That's play. Right.
And then
you got an excuse.
Who knows what's happening in my second year? But yeah, by that time.
Okay, so you leave CMO, and now you're at Big Blue Nation. You're at Kentucky, as big as it can get in the SEC, which is the premier conference for women's basketball, right?
Absolutely.
Talk to me about like going. I mean, you're like a small college. You've been at Radford, you've been at CMO. Now you're stepping into Rupp Arena. Is it just like how did you have a moment where you were just like looking around like, holy cow, like I really work here?
Yeah, every day, to be honest. Every day when I walk in, I'm like, I really work here. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a dream come true. It's a dream come true, and it's I enjoy it. I'm blessed to be a part of the coaching staff and not just the university and the athletic department, but like the coaching staff that I get to work with. It's just like, it's literally a dream come true.
Yeah. What is like the biggest difference from where you're at now to like the place you've been before in terms of like operation or like, I mean, obviously the arena's bigger. Obviously, there's more people, but when it comes down to it in terms of like running a program? What's the difference?
I would say, so, I mean, I worked for Rika Patterson at SEMO, and like she, you know, she got her start at Baylor, and, you know, she's a national championship coach and things like that. So she always pushed me to perform at a high level. So, and she also wanted the program to, in the way that we could, resemble a top level program. So, you know, the level of expectation isn't any different, which I'm grateful to be that I worked for her before. The biggest difference is the size of the staff. And it's something that I'm still getting used to, because as a GA, you know, I'm full-time video coordinator. I do all the social media. I do, you know, help with recruiting and behind the scenes of recruiting. I'm doing alumni. I'm, you know, preparing for camp. I planned one camp. It's just so many aspects to it. Like, you, and anything else that the head coach need is like, you know, your responsibility. Anything that the assistant coach can ask you to do as well, you know, it's like 24/7. You're here, you're there. And coming to a place like Kentucky is like, you have one area, you know, it's still a lot of responsibility, you know, because the competition is more competition, you know, but it's like one area. And that was difficult for me, specifically because, you know, as we talked about earlier, you know, I like doing a lot of things, and it's not because I have to. One is because I want to. It's kind of how I'm wired. So when I'm in a, you know, I'm in a meeting the first time, every problem, I'm trying to fix each problem, because as a GA, that had to be kind of like my mindset. Like, I had to have an answer for anything that the, you know, the head coach may have wanted or needed, or any situation, I probably was the one to go to fix it. So, being on a staff this big is like, you know, is one area of responsibility. And it seems like it should be like relieving, which it is relieving, like when you actually embrace it, but it's just a big difference for me. I'm like, all right, so it's hard for me to think about, you know, it could be a problem that needs solving and me not doing anything to solve it. Like that's hard for me to be like, okay, ignore that fire, right? You know, and maybe not ignore, you support it, because, you know, it's your staff member that probably have to deal with it. But it's like, that is not your problem. Like, like, so that's difficult for me. But I've definitely been better at it, you know, now.
And that is hard. That is hard to get used to, of like, okay, just be great at what you know, you're specialized a little bit on those big staffs, which could be a great thing, like you said, but it could also be a hard thing.
Yeah, I appreciate it a lot, because I do like, just in general career development, I like specialization. I like being the best at X, right? So I appreciate it. Like I said, it's a dream come true that I'm in this position. But it's just, you know, the getting used to it is a challenge.
I always thought like I always admired the staffs that break down their assistants like with specific tasks. Like, obviously there's like the offensive defense coordinator thing, which that's cool. I really like that. But I love when they go to the next level and they're like, some people don't like this, but I like when you got one assistant whose job is to like do all like 90% of the recruiting. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't care if they're at practice all the time, like, go get our players. I actually like, if you gave me that one job, yes, I would miss being on the floor and be a part, but like, I feel like I would recruit better than, like, I'd be able to really narrow down and focus in on that task, and I'd crush it.
Yeah. And it's better for the program too. You know, as a individual, you probably be like, man, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to be on the court, why am I missing practice? But, you know, one thing that I see, you know, going to different conferences and stuff like that, like, when you work on a different staff, it's like working for a different company. Like, sometimes, you know, I feel like coaches think like, oh, we're all in this together, we're all doing the same thing. Like, no, we're not doing the same thing. You work for that university, you work for that university, you work for that university under that coaching staff. You know what I'm saying? Like, the university and that specific coaching staff and that head coach. So it's going to be completely different. So you can't be like, oh, why are you doing that? And I don't get to do it. You know what I'm saying? You know, I think sometimes we get caught up in that, and it's not good for the program, because the program, you need to do like what the program needs you to do. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, you know, that's a whole different story.
you're really good at like first of all, you're an overachiever. You know that, right? Like, you know, like you're an overachiever. You get the most out of everything around you, which is awesome.
I try to maximize my potential.
Yeah, you do a good job of it. I always had issues in my career. Like, I was always looking for what was next. I couldn't wait to continue to climb the ladder. And as I got older, you know, that you, when you get older, that kind of goes away a little bit. But especially when I was young, I was so ambitious. I just couldn't wait. Not that I was like shirking my responsibilities or doing a bad job where I was at. I just was always ready for the next jump. You're really good at like, you seem really patient. Like, I'm sure there's opportunities, you know, you're sharp, you played, you've been with some great programs. I mean, I'm sure there's opportunities for you to go get an assistant job at some school somewhere. But you seem like you're really taking your time. Maybe that's not right. I don't know. But that's something I never was able to do.
I mean, that's right. But I mean, it wasn't natural. I had to learn by observation what makes sense. You know, I definitely was the one, like, even when I was at SEMO, I definitely was the one that was like, okay, all right, I could be an assistant coach next year, XYZ. But, you know, I just, like I said, by observation, reading, and just, you know, trying to think about like what path makes sense. You can watch people do that and you can see them not end up in a productive situation. So, you know, you just, you know, challenge your thought and you'd be like, okay, it doesn't really make sense to try to go from this place to this place to this place, because you don't really learn anything, right? You can't say that you are good at something if you haven't produced the result for that thing. And, you know, building takes time. So, you know, if you're going to be, you know, good and you're going to, like, you know, trust in the process, you got to realize that it takes time and it's hard for you. I think it's hard to get a full experience at some place for one year or even 2 years. You know what I'm saying? Because if you are vested into moving the organization forward, like, movement is not ideal. Also, like, you know, also like understanding the model of like college athletics is not good. To turnover is not good. You know what I'm saying? So if it's not something that truly makes sense, and, you know, and there's ways you can grow in a specific position, then that, you know, it's more you can do where you are, you know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, that's not a natural thought. That's a thought I've understood, like, you know, watching how, like, people's careers play out and things like that. And, you know, even with myself, like, you know, having goals, I want to trust the process. I want to, you know, I want to finish something to completion. And, you know, a completion at Kentucky is like winning a national championship. So if I leave, or if I try and take an opportunity before that's done, or even consider it, like, I'm not completing, you know, the object of me, you know, coming there and helping the program, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So, like, I kind of got that realization. It's a book called The One Thing. And I got that realization when I was at SEMO trying to figure out, you know, what I was going to do next. And, you know, one of our coaches, my first year there, one of our coaches was 23. And, you know, I'm competitive. I'm like, all right, I want to be a 23-year-old assistant, you know what I'm saying? So, or 22. And when I really sat down, I read the book called The One Thing. And I was like, I wrote down in the book, I said, do I really want to be a 23-year-old? Do I want to be an assistant coach next year? Or do I want to be a 23-year-old assistant coach? So those two things are different. It's like, if I'm trying to do this because I'm trying to be a 23-year-old assistant coach, what value is that? You know what I'm saying? It's like kind of shallow, you know what I'm saying? So I just had to like think and realize like what my purpose was, and like, you know, if I'm trying to get here, what need to be the steps? And the biggest thing is learning. Like, if you want to be a successful coach, you have to learn first how to be that before you can do it. If you learn it and do it at the same time, it's kind of hard, you know, and that could take years off your success.
Yeah, that's so good. Such good stuff. And how do you learn? You see people in your program. You go around great coaching staffs, great mentors, and you watch them work, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the only way. I mean, and you can learn by just jumping in the deep end and getting your hands dirty. There's nothing wrong with that either. There's no right or wrong path. But the discipline, I've noticed, like doing searches in men's basketball, women's basketball, interacting with both like coaches on both sides, women's basketball coaches are so much more disciplined and selective with their career changes. It seems like, of course, I'm generalizing, like men's basketball coaches are just like, what job's out there? Let me get it. And women's basketball coaches seem like they really put a lot more thought into their movement. It's probably a good thing.
I mean, like I said, I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, you know, learning as you go and things like that, but it just depends because, I mean, if you are a head coach and you're learning on a job, you know, there's a lot at stake there. You know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of it is going to come, a lot of what you do when you're actually doing a job is going to come from your previous experience, right? So it's like, what do I need to know, or what do you want to choose to know before you get in that situation? Because, or I mean, not even just a head coach or an assistant coach. And it's like, where do I want to be as a person before I have this responsibility, you know, as a leader? Because like, I'm even noticing myself, like, even though I'm not directly interacting with players all the time or coaching the players, I notice things that I like or dislike about how I would respond to certain things. And I'm like, okay, well, I definitely need to grow in this area before I feel like I could be an effective coach, because, you know, a lot of things annoy me, you know what I'm saying, about, you know, some players and things like that. And I'm like, I can't think that way if I'm truly going to be able to serve them. Like, they can't annoy me, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, all right, so I definitely got some growth to do. And not just do it just to say that I'm doing it, because that's not effective. So, yeah.
No, that's so good. Such good insight. Let's dig into like your actual like job there at Kentucky. You're the director of recruiting, among many things. I know you wear a lot of hats, but one of your main responsibilities is to manage your guys' social media accounts, right?
No, I don't manage our social media accounts. I help our coaches, you know, just kind of amplify them, amplify their messages, and amplify their brands, and try to give them insight about, you know, how to use it, and also how to, you know, just make it more effective. You know, a personal brand is kind of new, but, you know, I think it's important. So, you know, just having that young ear on, like, okay, this was going on here, what's going on there, and just giving insight on possibilities, you know, strategies and things like that. So that's one aspect of it, helping our coaches amplify their personal brands. Another aspect is, you know, just behind the scenes, capturing information, sending information, you know, kind of being an ear to, you know, the young generation coming up, giving ideas of like, what can we do to be more attractive? You know, I think that's one of my biggest responsibilities, thinking of how can we be more attractive in recruiting, and, you know, supporting our coaches in that way. You know, there's a lot goes into it. If you want to be like being super organized and knowing, you know, what players are here, what players are there, building relationships, you know, with coaches, so that, you know, Kentucky's always on top of mind, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot goes into someone who was a master at recruiting, I think it was Sylvia Hatcher at UNC, you know, kind of building that funnel. So it's a funnel that takes place, and I think it's not really taking place nowadays, which is one of the reasons for a lot of transfers. Like, there's a process of getting to know someone when you are getting ready to enter a 4-year, you know, relationship with them, or whatever the case may be. And, you know, it's just like dating. So if I, you know, visit campus one time, I'm like, ooh, yeah, I like it. Or if I see them on TV and I'm like, ooh, I want to play for this person. There's a lot of disconnect in, you know, that process, or of the student athlete, the prospective student athlete is not super engaged in that process. But I say all that to say is that there's a funnel that takes place that can help build better relationships if you already have some type of rapport, some type of engagement, and some type of understanding about who that person is, and not just like, you know, what you see them on the court. And so my goal is to help strengthen that funnel so that when the coaches strengthen the funnel before they even talk to our coaches. So by the time they talk to our coaches, by the time they get on campus, they're already familiar with the organization, with everything that we have to offer. So it's not like we're on official visits, like we feel like strangers, you know what I'm saying? So that's kind of like my main objective, like me personally. Like I want to be able to, like, when a recruit or when a AU coach, they hear Kentucky, they already know, they already have a good idea of what we're about before even like making contact.
What's up, podcast fans? I want to share some information about one of our partners, Lucio Sports. The team at Lucio has built an integrated platform of coaching productivity and player development apps that are being used by some of the best basketball programs around the globe, helping everyone from NBA champions to youth development academies. Their innovative and competitive memorization games make it so much easier for new players and staff members to remotely get caught up to speed. With animated playbooks, drill libraries, player development planning and monitoring, engaging game plans and scouting reports, predictive play drawing, their content services team, and more, Lucio Sports has got you covered. From players to coaches to support staff and executives, use Lucio Sports to securely keep everyone in your organization on the same page with simple on-demand access to your team's entire knowledge base. For more information, check out luciosports.com. That's L-U-C-E-O sports.com.
Okay, let's tie that back into like the first thing you talked about, which was the social media piece, because this is an area that like everyone's curious about. People need help with this. People struggle with this.
Yeah,
you do a great job with it. I've heard you speak on it many times on different Zooms. You do a great job using social media so that your recruits, your fans, they feel like they're a part of it. They feel like they know you just by watching you on social media. Okay, reverse engineer that for me. How do you utilize social media? What type of posts are you making? How often are you posting to create that type of vibe?
I would say like it starts with you. It starts with what do we want people to know? And like I said earlier, I don't run Kentucky women's basketball social media. I come from more of a personal standpoint. But it's like, you know, stories, when you can tell stories, or when you can capture moments in a tweet, or capture an emotion in a tweet, it gives them an idea. So like, it's like, okay, what do you want the recruit to know, or the fan, or whoever, to know about you or the organization first? And if you just get to posting, then you miss the whole, you know, concept, right? So it's not necessarily about who has the best, who has the coolest content. It's about, you know, how personable is it? So for example, you know, one of our coaches, you know, is really into music. So at one point we was doing, you know, Music Monday, right? So at any point in time, you know, if a recruit or a coach can always ask her about what type of music does she like. You know, with Coach Elsie, like, you know, she likes to, you know, she's a mother. She likes to post pictures of her son. You know, he means a lot to her. You know, if we're talking on the phone, if we start that conversation with that, that's already something that can bridge a gap. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's not awkward. So it's like trying to help build rapport. So like the amount of time you post and what content you post, that's almost secondary to what really helps you build a strong brand. It's figuring out, you know, what do I want people to know about me? That's the question. What do you want people to know about the program?
Can I just add something there? Like, mm-hmm. That's such a good point. And like, one of the biggest hangups for people that aren't used to like posting and being an active user on social is they're like, oh, I don't want to just talk about myself. I feel weird. I feel narcissistic, yeah. You know, just putting stuff out there about me, but that's not it. Like you're putting yourself out there so people can grab onto it. And now you've got a starting point to like build an actual relationship, right? Exactly. Like, it doesn't have to be, yeah. It's not about you. It's actually about everyone else that's consuming the content.
Exactly. So that's a good point. Cause I get that pushback a lot. Like I don't even put myself out there, you know, it seems narcissistic or crazy, but like, you know, one thing, like all human beings has some type of narcissism in them. So, you know, just get over that. Like, it's like, you're not special by wanting to not be narcissistic, because all human beings are narcissistic. So it's almost narcissistic to think that you don't have to do that.
Right. Exactly. You know,
like, it's almost narcissistic of you to think that you're not narcissistic. You know what I'm saying? But you know, that's going deep into human. Anyway, but
we go deep on this podcast, Aisha. We're not like most podcasts. We go deep. We dive deep here.
Yeah, like, you know, it's a book by Robert Greene, The Laws of Human Nature. The book is like this thick. If you want to know, you know, if you're narcissistic or not, you know, just read that book. But anyway, I talk about it in my book about, you know, building a brand. So, and part of that is like building a brand, that's extra credit. Like you already know who you are, so you just build off who you are. So I say it in this way. Okay. Without building a brand, your resume means nothing. Communicate the person that you are and the person that you're becoming. So, I mean, it's really just as simple as that. Like communicating the person that you are and the person that you are becoming. So, you know, it's extra. It's not the end all be all. It's not the first thing you should do. It's after you have some substance about you. It's like, okay, what do you want people to know? Now, how you communicate it, that's the social media piece. But you know, I give a good example of Bob Starkey. So, you know, he posts a lot, but I don't think I've ever seen a photo of him. What does he post? He posts books. He posts quotes. He posts, you know, plays. You know what I'm saying? Like it. You have to figure out what's good for you, because your social media presence is not going to look the same as everybody else's. You know what I'm saying? You having that fear is like you're worrying about what somebody else is doing. You're like, I don't want to look like that. Well, you're not going to look like that if you aren't that. You know what I'm saying? So it's that's the biggest part, is figuring out, you know, what do you want to communicate? Who are you? What you're going to communicate? Let me pull up his page right quick so I can give an example. Like he posts all the time, and his picture is not even his. The logo of the school that he works at. You know what I'm saying? So like, the first thing you got to do to be able to use social media to like, you know, get over yourself and figure out why you're using it in the first place. If you're using it to inspire people, if you're using it to share knowledge, or you know, give people an insight, whatever reason you're using it for, that's the first thing you got to figure out.
And it's okay to use it to market yourself, right? Like that doesn't make you a bad person, correct?
Correct. Like when you step outside your door, you're marketing yourself. So right. When you put on clothes, when you choose that you want to iron your shirt, right? You're marketing yourself, right? You don't want to walk out the house with a wrinkled shirt. So like, are you boosting yourself because you decided to iron? You know what I'm saying? Like, right. You know what I'm saying? So like, Are you too good to wear a wrinkled shirt? Yeah, you are too good to wear a wrinkled shirt because you have pride about yourself. So it depends on your intentions. So it all comes back to what is your intention? And nobody knows your intention except you. So you can't look at somebody else's stuff and say, I don't want to look like that, because you don't know what that person's intention is. Right. And one thing I'll get from a coach, this stood out for me. It was like, I don't like social media because, you know, I'll see coaches on social media talking like, you know, they're doing all this and doing all that. And then they're not even doing their job, or they're not even doing a good job where they are, or care about where they're at and stuff like that. So that you're talking about that individual. You're not talking about social media, right? So that individual is lying, right? Like, that individual is being an imposter. That's their business. That's nothing to do with you. You know what I'm saying? So, and people can feel like your intention. So, it doesn't make you a bad person. Cause like I said, all it does is give people an impression of you before they see you. And it just makes them more familiar with you. Now, what you say and how you say it, those are the things that, you know, dictate, you know, is the person being full of themselves? But again, those are individual things, you know,
right.
Not the platform that does it to you. Like, social media doesn't make you more narcissistic. You know right. what I'm saying? It just exposes who you are. So,
and what you're saying is, like, if you're like, have a plan, have a marketing plan, figure out, and it's not like being fake. You don't have to manufacture posts, right?
Right.
Like, you could simply just, you choose to share certain things. Like, like, if you go get a workout in every day at 2 o'clock, if you want to share, like, yourself going into the gym and say, like, you know, don't feel like working out today, but got to get it in.
Yeah.
Like, that's not like, that's different than posting selfies with your shirt off in the mirror, right? Like, you're not flexing,
exactly.
You're sharing something about yourself. Like, this is what I do.
And neither one of those things are bad. You know what I'm saying? It's all about the person's intention, and nobody knows your intention but you. You know what I'm saying? So you do it the way that you want to do it. You inspire the way you want to inspire. Because like I said, like, it's just giving people, regardless of if you want to think like social media is, you know, I'm promoting myself. The more familiar someone is with you, the better chance you have to connect with them.
Yes.
So it's all about becoming familiar with the person, because if you are a bad person, then you're still going to be a bad person no matter if you post on social media. And I know a lot of people, I feel like I'm very familiar with them based off their social media. And I'm like, they're crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, I have a good idea of who they are, but it's not because of the amount of their posts. I know there are other people that post just as much. And I'm like, okay, I vibe with this person.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's,
it's true. Like Shimmy Gray Miller at Clemson. I really don't know her. Like, we've talked several times, like, we kind of know each other, but like, I follow her on social media. She's always posting like her dogs, her working mm-hmm. out. I feel like I know her. I feel like we're friends. And that's what, you know, this is the number one thing, Aisha, that I get from coaches all the time. Like, I want to break in. I want to do this. I want to, you know, but they're never, ever present on like social media. And not that you have to be, but just understand, this is a tool that's out there that is the way of our world now. It's 2021. Mm-hmm. Just look at what kids are doing growing up. They're social native. This is just how the world operates now. And here's something you're leaving on the table if you're not taking advantage of it.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. Like, it's just a tool. Like, it's no different between you stepping your foot into a clinic or you stepping your foot into social media. Like, it just depends. You know what I'm saying? It's all about you and your attention and how you want to use it. And it gets your name in a hat, regardless of, like, and I'm speaking young coaches, right? So if somebody was to come ask me, you know, any young coaches that, you know, would be good coming up, I'm going to think, if I'm talking to somebody, I'm going to think about the people that come to the top of my head, or I'm at least they're going to come to the top of my head. And it's like, can they coach? I don't know if they can coach or not. I haven't seen them practice. You know right. what I'm saying? But I'm going to think about that individual. I might not recommend them, because I'm like, okay, I don't want to recommend somebody if I don't know them, but at least they're going to be in the conversation, and somebody, you're going to get in the conversation. And then, you know, if the opportunity is for you, the situation is for you, it's for you. If it's not, it's not. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you got
to trust yourself and trust your own decision-making judgment, you know, to make decisions and, you know, navigate through life. You know what I'm saying? So,
okay. Sorry, I got a sidetrack with social media, but I did want to
ask you. No.
Talk to us about your book. You authored your first book, Success Is My Major. You just gave us a sneak peek passage from it, which we appreciate. What's the book about?
So the book is basically about I tell my story on how I navigated, you know, through college and prepared myself for the real world. You know, it's not an autobiography. It is a framework that I use and I can always go back to. So, you know, I would say, you know, it helps you find your purpose. It helps you, you know, figure out how do you want to break into any career of your choice? What is it like to build your resume? What is it like to have mentors? You know, why should you have mentors? The importance of basically the process of from being self-aware to getting an opportunity that you want, and also what happens when you quote unquote become successful. What happens like when you reach the goal and you're like, dang, what do I do now? Because becoming successful and being successful are completely different. You know, they're different paths. So I take you on a journey of how to become successful, how to become your best self. And, you know, then at the end, you know, I kind of reference like, okay, what happens when you get there? A big underlining part of the book is getting over yourself, right? A big part of my book is about entitlement, because I feel like, you know, that's what holds a lot of people back. And I talk about, you know, my instances of, you know, entitlement, and how once you get over yourself, that's when you can reach the next level of life, when you get over yourself. So that's the underlining piece. You know, if you write a book and says about entitlement, you know, no one's going to think that they need to read it. But you know, if you talk about, you know, success, then they're like, okay, yeah, I want to read that. So, it's my process of, you know, when you fall into this issue, what can you go through? And one thing I did with it, I created a framework. So it's not about me. It's about, you know, anybody can insert their story, and follow the same kind of agenda to either get better results than me, results like me, or better results than me. You know what I'm saying? Because I want to help, you know, duplicate this process of where I feel like I was able to do, you know, as a student and a young professional.
I love it. Success Is My Major is the book. You can go to successismymajor.com. You can go on Amazon and find it. We're going to give out a copy. We're going to buy a copy and give it out. So if you want a chance to win the book, shoot us an email, adam@risingcoaches.com. Tell me why you need a copy of the book, and we'll select a winner. We'll buy you a copy and send it your way. Again, adam@risingcoaches.com. Aisha, like, how was the process of writing a book? Is this like, are we going to see more books from you in the future? No?
I'm not trying to discourage anybody from writing a book. But for me, it was very difficult. And I say that because me personally, I'm all over the place sometimes. So my thoughts could be, you know, all over the place. I don't necessarily do a good job at capturing a thought. You know what I'm saying? So like when you sit down, try to remember, you know, and you have this idea and you're just like, dang, I want to put it together. But it was hard, like, you know, and I wrote it as I started it when I graduated college, 2016. So I was writing it as I was transitioning into being a GA and also transitioning into being at Kentucky, you know, working for Kentucky and trying to do my best job there. But one of the biggest reasons why it was so difficult is because I'm trying to conceptualize what I'm living. So, if the book is about success and I don't feel successful, it's hard to like sit down and write, you know what I'm saying? Or hard to like, be confident about what you're writing if you're unsure. So, that was a difficult part because it's like, I'm trying to learn as I'm living and, you know, trying to say what's right, you know, what is right about this, part here. So, it's like you're trying to learn what success is while pursuing success. And that's one reason why I thought it was important that I write it at the start of my career, because, you know, mm-hmm. if I read a book about a successful person now, it's like they are already 50 years ahead of me. you know. And if I write this now, like it can relate more to somebody who's going through the same process. So it's kind of like we're going through the process together, depending on when you buy the book, you know what I'm saying? But it's like we're going through this process together. And I really wrote this book for myself because it's like it's advice to myself. So if I'm struggling through something and I don't have the advice to give myself, it's like, dang, it's hard to write, you know what I'm saying? So, but I figured it out and I think I got it right. So,
I love it.
Yeah. So, I mean,
we need a sequel every 5 years then, Aisha.
Yeah. Yeah. I was dealing with something like a couple of weeks ago and I opened the book and I'm like, oh, you know, this is what I needed to do. So I really wrote this book as like a roadmap for myself. So I'm taking advice from this probably the next, you know, 5-10 years of my life at least. But yeah, maybe another book because I have some concepts in mind. Because like I said earlier, becoming successful and being successful are two different processes. So this is a process of becoming successful. And now I'm entering a new light of like, you can't, like you're not climbing the ladder anymore. Like now you have to be present and to perform. It's a different thought process, different things you do, a different way of thinking. So I've been thinking about some concepts for the next one.
I love it. Okay, last thing before we let you go, we got to talk about Black Excellence in Sports. The logo is right there. Shout out to our producer KJ Kenny for getting that hooked up. Awesome podcast that you host with Nick LeGroon, that we've been super fortunate to be remotely associated with. Talk about the podcast that you guys started this year, and I mean, it's really, really good.
Thank you. Yeah. So I'm an avid podcast listener. I just for years, like since I was in college, like if you see me with headphones on, I'm probably not listening to music. You know, I'm probably listening to a podcast or an audio book. But I always wanted to start one. But, you know, of course, I'd be wanting to do everything. So, you know, I didn't act on it really. And then Nick came to me with the idea. With, you know, helping rising coaches, you know, become more diverse and, you know, highlight, you know, Black people who are doing the same thing, Black coaches or Black administrators or anybody associated with college athletics. And, you know, as soon as he brought it to me, I was like, yeah, you know, like it was an easy sell. You know, because like I said, I always wanted to do one. And, you know, I have a network of people, you know, by following the process that I outlined, but I have a network of people, you know, but I don't need a job. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, what am I going to do with this network of people? So, you know, also developing the skill of networking. So it was like, okay, you know, now what, you know, what can I do? So it's been really fun. It's been therapeutic for me. Now I can probably speak for Nick as that as well. Like we get from our guests what we need. Literally, like for whatever reason, every single time we interview somebody or even release the episode, it's something that I'm like, dang, I needed that. Like I went through something last week and I needed that. So, you know, it's to inspire, it's to highlight, you know, Black excellence. It's to help people understand that, you know, being Black is not nothing negative at all, and how to kind of, you know, work through the journey and understand that you are. Like, you're not doing it alone. Like, it's like, what do we need to know? You know, well, Nick, like, what did Nick need to know? He was young, just starting also. Like, what do I need to know, like, now? You know what I'm saying? So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, Black Excellence in Sports is the podcast. You can find it anywhere, Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to your pods. Yeah, and your guests have been, like, amazing. Like, you've had Shaka Smart. You had Mike Boynton, Dr. Kiki Baker Barnes, Rika Patterson, CY. I mean, such Jamie and Christian, such good guests. And you guys are so like good. You and Nick are so intentional with your questions and like the conversation. You really get these guests to open up and talk about some you know, important deep stuff.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite episode? You gotta have a personal favorite.
I like every single one I could say after I listen to it, I'm like, this is my favorite, every single one. So
give me like, all right, so let's just say I'm new to the podcast. Give me one or two to start with.
It depends on who you are, because, you know, I recommend different things to people. But I would say, like, you know, definitely CY. Like, he got us, he gave us a lot of confidence, you know what I'm saying? Because CY is a natural entertainer. He's a natural, you know, person to talk to. He's funny. And, yeah, I mean, I definitely, you know, start with CY. And, you know, if you want to listen to women, there's great women up there. If you want to listen to men, there are great men up there. It depends on, like, where you are on your journey. But, you know, one that really stand out to me is Mike Boynton. And, you know, it stands out to me because I think we have similar mindsets and similar ways of thinking. Rika Patterson, you know, just unbelievable mind and just, like, you know, she was my boss, so you kind of like hear some of that dynamic of, you know, what she helped me with and things like that. But I mean they all are incredible. And even Rob Knox, the last one, I think he might have been the last one that we released.
Yeah, it's the most recent episode. Yeah.
Rob Knox and even Kevin Sutton, like all of them, like me and Nick are very hard on ourselves. Like we support each other, but we're very intentional. We want this. We really want to deconstruct their stories, and like we'll prep for an hour before the interview start. You know what I'm saying? Because we want to make sure we are, you know, getting the best, you know, from these interviews. Like we take pride in our questions. We take pride in, you know, the feeling that we get when we're talking to them, and that is going to give our audience. So. I can't say that one is better than the other one, because I'm telling you, like, that last one, Kevin Sutton and Rob Knox, I would even say I'm very proud of Rob's episode, because he's a SID, and you don't necessarily know the SID story, you know what I'm saying? And it's not a situation where you know, he's in the spotlight all the time and things like that, but we were able to dig deep in his story. You could tell it was a little bit uncomfortable for him, because he's used to talking about other people's stories. That was a powerful episode, and it will help a lot of coaches, because one thing I feel like coaches don't get is, like, it don't matter your profession. Everybody is dealing with the same stuff. Everybody is dealing with the same personal issues, I say. Not the same stuff, but like same personal, dealing with your ego, dealing with confidence and things like that. We pulled that out of him, and it was very powerful. And Kevin Sutton, we was very proud of Kevin Sutton's too, because Kevin Sutton does a lot of, you know, interviews. That Kevin Sutton is, like, you can find him easily on, you know, he's a very accomplished coach, but, you know, me and Nick, like, we don't care about that, you know. So we care about it, of course, but, like, that's not what we want to talk about. We want to talk about, what do you have to do to get to that point? So what do you have to overcome? What personal issues do you have to work through? You know, you ain't got to tell us our personal business, your personal business. However, like, what do you have to work through, and how do you get through it? Because these are the things that help, that separate people that reach their goals and people that don't reach their goals. So we were proud of that, because we got out of Kevin Sutton, which you won't get in any other dialogue that you'll see with him. So
that is 100% accurate. Like I said earlier, like, the conversation that you're able to pull out of these guests, these amazing guests that you guys get, is really high level. Aisha, thanks so much for joining us. Black Excellence in Sports is the podcast. Success is My Major is the book. You can buy it on Amazon. Shoot us an email if you want a free copy. We'll buy a free copy for somebody. Adam@risingcoaches.com. Aisha, you're a beast. you're going to be, you're already killing it in so many different facets. And I just continue to look forward to being a fan and appreciate everything you've done, for the community and for the profession, really.
Absolutely. I appreciate that a lot. That definitely means a lot.
Absolutely. Wow. Thanks, Aisha. Take care.
All righty.